CBS News Brief. Baltimore hotel workers have joined thousands of others across the country on strike.
We're fighting for equality of pay. You know, we're working for a company where the 52-week high as far as the stock is concerned has been over 220.
After six hostages were found dead in a tunnel in Gaza, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu says he's seeking forgiveness for not saving them. Heading into a meeting with advisors today, President Biden was asked,
Mr. President, do you think it's time for Prime Minister Netanyahu to do more on this issue? Do you think he's doing enough?
No.
The president's now in Pittsburgh for a campaign event with Vice President Harris. Fairly smooth travel day today for those heading home from the long holiday weekend. This woman is at the airport in Atlanta.
We flew from here yesterday down to Tampa and then back today. Went to go see a concert. We went to go see Imagine Dragons. They were amazing.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz warns a Labor Day crowd of supporters in Milwaukee what would happen to working people if Donald Trump wins the election.
They have told us exactly what they're going to do. The goals in Project 2025 are clear. It should be subtitled, How to Screw the Working People. That's how it should be listed.
Press pool vans following Walz were involved in a crash on their way to the speech. A Harris campaign staffer reportedly suffered a broken arm. A reporter may have had a concussion. Donald Trump will hold a campaign rally in central Wisconsin on Saturday. The Trump campaign says it will happen at the airport in Mosinee starting at 1 in the afternoon. Meanwhile, President Biden travels to southwest Wisconsin on Thursday. This is Civic Media News. Congress is considering a bill to better inform the public about end-of-life care options like hospice, palliative care, and advanced care planning. Suzanne Potter reports.
The Compassionate Care Act would establish guidelines for advanced care planning between health providers and patients. Lisa Paul is a social worker who guides families through hospice.
We live in a culture that is very avoidant of conversations on death and dying. And so public education around the importance of planning ahead will improve access so that everyday Americans know to ask for hospice and palliative care.
The bill would direct the government to develop education resources for providers, expand telehealth options, and facilitate a study on a national advanced care planning registry that would allow patients to transfer their advanced directives from state to state. I'm Suzanne Potter.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
A five-game winning streak for the Brewers comes to an end. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports. It took 11 innings, but the Cincinnati Reds took down the Brewers 4-3 on Sunday thanks to a walk-off single to score the automatic runner. The Brewers took 3 of 4 games from the Reds in the weekend series and stand 9 games ahead of the Chicago Cubs in the NL Central. Now Milwaukee comes home to take on the St. Louis Cardinals Monday afternoon in a 3-game set. The NFL season kicks off this week with a game on Thursday between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. Then on Friday, the Green Bay Packers will take on the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil. The Packers matchup has plenty of intrigue as both teams changed defensive coordinators and running backs for this season, and it'll also be the first ever NFL game in Brazil. Kickoff will be on Friday night. This week is the start of conference season in high school football. It is week 3. You can find one of nearly a dozen games around the state right here on Civic Media. With sports for Civic Media, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, cool with a low in the upper 40s. Sunny and a little warmer tomorrow, high to the upper 70s and a touch breezy. Sunshine and a high in the low 80s Wednesday. a chance of showers and storms into Thursday. Currently at 75 degrees.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself? Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster? It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm in my new time slot from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we'll be doing my show from Madison, where joining me in studio will be award-winning filmmaker and record producer Wendy Schneider.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine. Have your host, James, with you today. And we are welcoming into the studio some really wonderful, fun people. We are looking forward to a new school year, and we're going to kick things off by talking with our good friend and new superintendent, or newish, I should say, superintendent of the Wisconsin Rapids Public School System, Ronald Rasmussen, is with us. Ron, thanks a lot for being here.
Good morning, James.
Always good to see you. Thanks for the time, sir. And thank you for bringing in some friends. We got some new people here with us in new positions. I want to let you guys go down the line, introduce yourselves, and we'll get to know you after that. We'll start right on the end here.
Morning, James. Steve Thayer, new building principal at Howe Elementary.
Good to see you, Steve. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Terry Thomas. I'm the principal at Pitch Early Learning Center.
Thanks for being here, Terry. Nice to meet you.
Good morning. My name is Rod Watson. I'm the new principal at Lincoln High School.
Rod, good to see you. Thanks a lot for being here. I should mention journalistically, for integrity purposes, I am a Lincoln High School alum, so I am a little biased on that. No, I do appreciate you being here, Rod, and I appreciate the time from you guys. One of the things I like to do is get to know you a little bit more, let the audience get to know you guys a little bit more. So I will start with you, Steve. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you to the position.
Sure. Well, one of the great things about me making this transition, James, is I'm not new to the district. So I've been in the district for 5 years, the last 5 years at Lincoln High School, serving as an AP there, and now get to make this transition to the elementary. Prior to that, I was a math teacher, so don't hold that against me, please. We have a great time. But I've been in education now for a while, and I just love being there alongside, making new connections with families, and getting to lay some great foundation work to help make kids successful and be prepared for middle school and puberty and high school and all those things. We're really looking forward to coming alongside families.
How is the shift going for you? This is something I actually wanted to pick your brain about sometime, Ron, as well. Going from the positions you had as a teacher and that to this position right now.
It's been great. It has always been what I've wanted to do for my career. And now moving to the younger side of things, really looking forward to getting involved sooner with families and being more of a support, as opposed to doing more of the troubleshooting stuff that Rod gets to do to be able to get those final pieces in place. And so it's really just kind of a shift of mindset and an area of focus, and being able to get started rather than putting the bow on top and getting that celebratory thing at the end.
Very cool. And thank you for that, Steve. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Terry, how about you? Could you tell us a little about yourself?
Yeah, I actually have been in the district now for 25 years. Can you believe that?
Wow, I didn't realize that long. Wow.
I know.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. I have worked in many different roles, but recently I have been working at Pitch Early Learning Center. And the role that I had there was a student engagement facilitator, so working along students, staff, and families. And this year is just a little bit of a different shift. I'll still continue to work with the students, the staff, and the families, but as a principal role. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to bringing the families in. With it being a 4K school, an early learning school, we really only have our students for 1 or 2 years. So this is their first experience many times. There's a lot of nerves coming to school. It's their first time away from home sometimes. So we just really try to provide a nurturing environment, a play-based environment for the kids, so that when they come to school, they're having fun, They're learning through play and just having a really good first experience with school.
How has the shift for you been going from your previous gig to this?
So far, it's been okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's only early. Been a couple. I've only been officially in the role for a couple of weeks now. So mm-hmm. a lot of the work I've been doing is just the onboarding with different trainings and getting ready for our staff to return, our professional development, reaching out to families through Parent Square, and getting everything set up on the front end so that when they do come for our open house next week or even for the first day of school, we're set to go.
And Terry, you know this better than I do, but it's so important for kids those early days in school, those early learning sessions, how much that can set the path for them going forward.
Absolutely.
And falling in love with educating and falling in love with learning. Mm-hmm. I was really lucky. I moved around a lot as a kid, but wherever I landed, I ended up being fortunate and having teachers that really sparked that interest in me and saw that's a kid that likes to learn and really highlighting that. Mm-hmm. I imagine that's part of the gig for you. That's doing that kind of work and working with kids like that and seeing that and enhancing that.
Right. We want it to be a place where kids come and they love to be there and they really feel like they are cared about and that their interests are considered and that they just enjoy their time there. Because at Pitch, they're really learning foundational skills, whether it's social skills, learning how to regulate their emotions, or with even the beginning academics. I mean, this is where we're really laying that foundation. And so we want it to be a really positive experience for them and for their families.
That's great stuff, Terry. Yeah. Thank you very much for that.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Rod, how about you?
So this is the fourth stop in my educational journey. So I started here about a month ago, and I'm still trying to find all the bathrooms. Before this, I worked at Pittsville as the principal. Interviewing for this job was one of the craziest experiences of my life because I did it while I was in the field for the National Guard on my sergeant major's phone in a pile of poison oak. So going through that was quite an experience. Before that, I worked in Shawano as an associate principal and then down in the Chicago suburbs as a social studies teacher, which I'm still recovering from.
Right, I imagine. So. Yes, yeah. First off, thank you for the service. Appreciate that, sir. And you and I are going to have a conversation about that interview because I got to hear more about
it. I'm still
that.
In shock about it.
I got like 20 follow-up questions to that one. That is awesome. Rod, how is it going for you adjusting to the new position?
I have now more staff members than I did students last year. And so it's a change in position, but also just in magnitude and trying to figure out the new systems and processes to make a school effective for that many students. You really have to reexamine your role and realize that you're working at a macro level and you're working with a team. And so fortunately, the team is outstanding. And so getting ready for the year has less to do with me trying to find the bathrooms, more with them telling me what needs to be done right now to make sure those kids can find their first class and get that locker opened and all those things. So it's going well. I'm learning enough every day to eventually be good at it.
Very cool. Very good to hear. All three of you, thank you. A plus is all around. Nice work. Nice work all around.
We get the grades here.
I grade on a curve, so keep that in mind. Ron, same question for you. How it's going with this new position, going from a principal at Lincoln to this job right here?
Yeah, it's actually been phenomenal. Obviously, I've been part of this community now entering my 13th year. So it's an exciting community. I think it's a community on a rebound and vibrant. I think the district is taking a lead in a lot of that and what we're trying to do within the community. We're excited as we kick off, hopefully, four new playgrounds next week, which I know last month when I was here, we talked about the playground at Mead. So we're going to have those new playgrounds, hopefully, up and running here in the future, just provide that social aspect for students with all parts of our community. It's been a little hectic. We have about a 26-member team that I operate, including assistant principals, and well over a third of us are new to the district or new in the positions. Mm-hmm. So we still have a few hires out there in the district as well. And so that's been a little hectic as we try to gear up to have our 800-plus staff members for WRPS show back on Monday morning. But overall, it's going really well.
Really good to hear that, sir. Really good to hear that. And one thing that you talk about that as my oldest is I'm going to be a papa. I'm going to be a grandpa. And I'm shoehorning that in. I wholeheartedly admit. But I'm just very excited about that and everything. But with that, you start thinking about when your little one was little and taking them to school and some of these things and the both excitement and nerves that can be a part of that. And I hear you guys all talk about this, and it sounds very similar to your first day of school. It sounds like a little bit like that, which can only make a kinship with the students and show a relatability that I think is really unique to not only the school systems, but to our area here. And you hit it on the head, I think, sir, Ron, when you said the excitement to this. You know, having we have great teachers. We've had great principals in this area. The people in these positions, including yourself, did a great job. We're rock stars, did awesome work. To be able to not only pick that mantle up, but put your own spin on it, be your own thing with this, is a really exciting thing for our kids in this community. I just in thinking about this, it's a very exciting, it's going to be a fun school year.
Yeah, so one of the excitements we've had is Terry has worked with a lot of our new colleagues over the last, we've had approximately 30 new teachers come into our community that we worked with this week. So what was pretty awesome yesterday is we had all our new teachers over at Lincoln High School yesterday, as well as Lincoln High School had their schedule pickup. And so we had the same freshmen trying to open their lockers and teaching teachers where to walk around, and they're all nervous. It doesn't matter what grade level you are, age level you are, you're all nervous. You're in new experiences, new areas. But to have that understanding that we're all here for a greater purpose of education and to help people learn and grow is it's an exciting time for students to come back and staff also to come back. And just that excitement that not only students see when they walk into the building and those nerves, but also that new staff, and to see some of their passion in their subject areas or their curriculum focuses. Is really awesome to see.
Yeah. We're speaking with our superintendent and some of the principals of our Wisconsin Rapids public school systems. And Steve, is with how, what are some of the things you're looking forward to at Howe this year? And what are some of the events coming up? You have an open house, anything like that you want to tell us about?
Yeah, well, one of the events that we just kicked the school year off with happened earlier this week. This last Wednesday, we had popsicles with the principal.
Oh, nice.
And so we pulled a cooler out back and set up near the playground. And we had almost 100 elementary school kids come in and come and meet me and introduce themselves, and it was a great first step for me, and even realizing some of the connections, the familial connections between some of my Howe kids and some of the families that I've already had a privilege of getting to know at the high school level. And so it was really neat to have that and to be able to then now welcome kids back this upcoming Wednesday the 28th from 3:30 to 5:30 at our open house. We're really looking forward to seeing kids back in the building and meeting their teachers, dropping their stuff off, and just really getting ready to start the school year off right.
It sounds exciting. And popsicles with the principal just gave me a great idea. Donuts with DJs.
Excellent. I am there.
It's a really good idea.
Maybe
really
we can collab on that a little bit. You can set up outside.
It's not far from
yes,
here.
Yes, let's do it. Let's do it.
I like that. That's great. Terry, how about for pitch? Some things you're looking forward to, your open house, anything like that?
Yep. We have our open house scheduled for next week on Wednesday from 3 to 5 at the school, and families can just come and meet their teachers, drop off supplies, and get acclimated to school. We are hoping, fingers crossed, that the new playground, will be finally approved, final inspection, so that our families can play on it, because we are already thinking about some kind of a ribbon cutting ceremony to thank the community for allowing this project to happen. However, we're not sure yet when that final inspection will be, and so we just have to wait until that all goes through and we can let our families and our students play on it.
So got to be you and the staff, along with these kids, got to be really excited to hit that playground.
Oh, it's yes. We have been watching the progress since June. The day after our students were done at pitch, they already started breaking ground, and all summer it's just been a great work in progress. We've been able to see it come together.
And that area has always had a good area for playground equipment and everything. It feels like in going past it, I haven't been over there too closely, but going past it almost every day, it seems like they've really made use of the space. Like they really spread it out well, and some really cool equipment over there.
Yes, and our playground is a little bit unique from the other elementary schools. Because our school serves students that are 3, 4, and 5 years old, we really tailored the equipment so that it would be inclusive for all of our students. We have the pour and play rubberized ground so that our students that are in wheelchairs or strollers are able to get to the playground equipment, along with ramps, and just making it a very inclusive setting. And then you're right, James, there is a lot of green space as well for families or students to run around, and sometimes soccer teams practice there. So it is a really nice space right in the center of a residential neighborhood.
When we were growing up, all of us, it's not a knock at the past or anything like that. It's so easy to judge the past. That is not this at all. But I'm sure that all of us grew up and were around somebody or knew somebody with a disability possibly mm-hmm. that weren't able to do some of the things that mm-hmm. we and our friends were able to do. It's such a cool, unique day where that stuff is just, it's written in now. It's just a part of these things. When I didn't even have to ask about that with the playground equipment and then different playgrounds that, Ron, you mentioned mm-hmm. are being built around here. Mm-hmm. That's built into it. I think that's just so cool, and I don't want to normalize that. I want right. to highlight that whenever we can.
Yeah, and another great feature of our playground is we have a communication board because we have quite a few students that are nonverbal. Mm-hmm. So when they are out with their peers, you know, it can be difficult for them sometimes to try to find a way to communicate with verbal peers. Mm-hmm. And so the communication board just has pictures and visuals so that way when there's something that they want, whether they need to go in for a drink of water or they want to go on the swings or whatever the case is, they can point to the picture so that the adults or other kids are able to communicate with them. It's fantastic.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. That hit me. That's yeah. beautiful. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
That is really
beautiful.
Well,
you
beautiful.
Need to stop by and see it.
I got it.
Yes.
I got to take a tour.
Yep.
And not for nothing. I mean, I'm I have a hard time communicating sometimes.
Right.
I mean, might be yes. use something like that. That is pretty mm-hmm. cool. Thank you for sharing that with us, Terry.
Yeah,
appreciate
absolutely.
That. Rob, how about for you over at Lincoln?
Yeah, so we also have schedule pickup and new student orientation next week. Most students already got their schedules, and most new students came through yesterday to be entertained by Mr. Thayer and the Link crew. But they come in from 3:30 to 7:30 for anybody who hasn't a chance to come in yet. And then we have a new student and parent orientation meeting from 5:30 to 6:15. That's optional. So we find that as students, they've already been in secondary school, most of them for a while, and so we don't make them come in. The transition from primary to secondary is far more challenging. And yeah. so, but if anybody has questions or wants to meet me or goes through the slideshow and that we've put on our website and wants to go in that more detail, we'll be in the auditorium from 5:30 to 6:15. And then on Saturday, I'm going to go into the school and open up the doors, and any parent member or community member wants to come in and meet me since I'm new to the school can come in and talk to me all day long. So I'll have that open up with that on Parent Square so parents know what time that is.
Very cool. I can remember former principal Mr. Mancuso doing similar things like that and everything, and yeah. I think that's a great idea. It's always nice. And even, you know, to be blunt, even if nobody shows up, having the doors open means something.
Right.
I'm guaranteeing you people will show up.
Yeah.
But even if they didn't, I think that that's just, especially for a high school, and to be honest, one of our premier high schools and everything, it's important to be able to do those things and have a literal open door policy to people nowadays. That goes so much farther than I think we can put in the words. That's great, Rob.
Knowing that the principal of your school is available to talk to if you need them is important, and also it helps me because I don't know mm-hmm. enough people yet to really get a finger in the pulse of what people are concerned about and what the education feels like to the students that are experiencing it. So I need to find a way to keep those conduits active. So that's what I'm hoping to do that day, and if we don't get a lot of people, I got lots of emails to do anyway, so we'll figure it out.
Right on. I really got to say, I appreciate that every one of you, while you might be new in these positions, not only are coming in with plenty of experience and energy to this, but also an idea of, hey, we are here to listen. That is such a gift nowadays. And it's something that, again, growing up, you would think it was just kind of common and we just did that. But it's new. It's not new, but it's worth highlighting in this day and age that we have that.
Yeah, I think one thing I've heard from parents is that with all the safety features that schools have to have now, given the climate that we're in, and with the way COVID really separated us and kept more people out of the buildings, some people are feeling quite disconnected from their schools. Yeah. And they don't need to be. We certainly welcome community members to come in, but they don't always feel like that. And so we want to make sure that we say that as often as possible, that we, whenever we get our parents in for things, like, yes, we want to talk to you, we need that, you're welcome here. And so there's a little bit we have to shake off of what we've been through the last few years.
Yeah, a good point. Thank you for that. Ron, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Skyward. I know we wanted to touch on that.
Yeah. So we've made a transition. We've used Skyward now for many years within our school district. However, due to some security issues in our prior system, we've made a switch in our system to a former program in Skyward to a new program in Skyward. That transition has not gone as smoothly as we had hoped when you're transitioning. Well over 6,000
accounts.
Wait,
something technology
did not go smoothly. I know, isn't that surprising? So we've been working with Skyward. Obviously, they're a great partner of ours, transitioning in that. We're one of the first schools, actually, I think we might be the first larger school district in the state to transition to their new product. So that's not gone as smoothly as we had hoped as an organization. All of our school buildings are now open, so if parents are still having issues trying to log in, trying to do their online enrollment verification, we just ask if they're having that to please contact their school building. There'll be some communication coming up from my office that may today at some point, Friday afternoon. In addition, if they do have prior bookmarks in Skyward, bookmarked in their phone or their computer or tablet, those bookmarks are no longer going to work because they're for the old system. So we ask parents to log on to our website, wrps.org. You'll see the Skyward icon right at the top, and to use those new bookmarks for the new icon. That generally has been one of the major issues, is just prior bookmarks. You might need to clear your cache a little bit, or your cookies, or all that. I know, I don't know. There won't be donuts, but it'll be cookies. Clear those out.
We'll take it.
That's one of the things. And the other part is that we've implemented a new communication system home to our parents called Parent Square. And what it is, it's actually a K-12 communication system. We've had different schools use different services, different sports teams, different clubs, activities. And parents only have so much screen size on their phone. So we had parents, you'd have 5, 6, 7 different apps for things that your kids were involved in. So we've now moved everything into the school district into one app called Parent Square. It's where all your school communication will come from, your communication from coaches, advisors. So we'll hopefully streamline that process as well and give parents that one-stop resource. So that link is on our website as well at wrps.org. You can go to the Google Store or the Apple Store and download Parent Square.
Not a parent alive doesn't love the idea of I only have to make one stop, not 8.
Correct.
Like that seems like a great idea.
Correct.
Whether it's on your phone or in real life or anything like that.
That's... Yeah, exactly. So we're excited for that feature rolling out once again. Integration between Skyward and that, a few hiccups, but we're excited to have that simplified communication tool for parents moving into the upcoming school year.
And I think of two. My Nana used to have this phrase all the time: "You want to make God laugh, make plans." It is one of those things where we all, I think most people, especially in the community and this time of year, are certainly understanding that there are bugs to work out, there are kinks. This is all, you know, a year from now probably won't even be thinking about some of that stuff and everything.
So the one thing about making plans is the other thing that we get a lot of concerns about at this time of year is transportation, busing. With this is a little delayed because of the transition in the new system and making sure all our busing systems, everything integrate. We're hoping to have busing information posted in Skyward Family Access sometime on Monday. That communication will go out in Parent Square when it is live in Skyward Family Access. So parents obviously want to plan when their student's getting picked up, dropped off, etc. What bus route are they on? So that hopefully will be out in the Skyward Family Access on Monday, but that will be posted in Parent Square and on our website when it's done. And we'll also put that on our social media, our Facebook, our Twitter feed when those are posted.
I know in recent years, Ron, one of the things that has affected our school systems is needing bus drivers. How are we doing on that front?
Yeah, so I met with our bus drivers on Wednesday. We still need bus drivers for Safeway and Lamers. Mm-hmm. Are all looking for bus drivers to assist, and they have most of their school routes covered. It's also our after school routes. It's just important for our kids to participate in activities if they have a basketball game or a soccer game or a field trip. Mm-hmm. So especially those trip drivers are needed as well. So you're a little bit more inconsistent, but you're doing those cool trips that you might be going to the planetarium or whatever. So we do need some of those drivers within Safeway or Lamers. So I'd encourage, if you're interested, to contact Safeway or Lamers.
Yeah, not only I've had friends do this, and not only a good job, but a very rewarding job. Mm-hmm. Not every one of us can necessarily be an educator. You are an integral part of that process to be able to help with that.
They're the first person a student sees in the morning in many aspects, and that starts that student's day off in a positive light. So excited about that. Thank our bus drivers. As I said, they are integral to our operation. Also want to throw a shout out to our custodial staff and our building and ground staff, because they work overtime in the summer to get our buildings ready, and they look spotless. So very happy for our maintenance and custodial staff.
Excited for a new school year for all of our students and families out there, and very even more excited after talking with all of you. Have a great start to the year. Enjoy yourselves. Don't be strangers. The door is always open for you and your schools and your students. And thank you again so much for the time. Appreciate all of you.
Thanks,
James.
Yeah.
Hey, kids, bedtime's 9 o'clock. You get ready for school.
It's a great remote note, Rod. It's a great note. Appreciate you all. Thank you so much for the time. You can find out more about our public schools at wrps.org, wrps.org. wrps.org. And every one of these schools has an individual website and Facebook page. Encourage you to search those out, bookmark them, keep up to date on all the good things that is going on in our public school system. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week. We want to send a big thank you to the soul of this station, Pam Hilke. Nice job, Pam. We appreciate the work. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
When you think about Labor Day and what it means, do you think about Wisconsin? You should, but let's go back to explain. In the mid-1800s, activists pushed for a day to recognize workers' contributions. President Grover Cleveland signed a law in 1894 making the first Monday of every September a national holiday. So where did the first labor union form in Wisconsin? Wausau? Green Bay? Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The Badger State has an impressive history. Bricklayers and carpenters formed unions in the 1840s and were the first to push for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. Now, did you guess? This all happened first in Milwaukee. The state's labor unions formed in 1847. The National Labor Union didn't form until 1866, 19 years later. Leading the way for other states is this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Police have arrested a man in the shooting death of a champion gymnast at UW-Whitewater. Kara Welsh was 21. Welsh was shot and killed near campus Friday night. Claims about Kamala Harris's favorability do not hold up. Here's Tricia Young with a Wisconsin Watch fact check.
Representative Derek Van Orden's claim from July 29th that Harris was the most unpopular vice president since polling began is not supported by historical data. At their peak, Republican Vice Presidents Dan Quayle and Dick Cheney had higher unfavorability ratings. Quayle's peaked at 63% and Cheney's at 61% compared to Harris' 58% in September 2023. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch.
This is Civic Media News. Wisconsin families who qualify can send their kids to college for free under the Tuition Promise Program. A similar program in Minnesota benefits indigenous students. More from Mike Mohn.
Households earning below $80,000 a year qualify for free tuition at state colleges and universities. Experts say limited scholarships are one of the many obstacles Native Americans encounter in the world of higher education. White Earth Tribal and Community College President Anna Shepherd doesn't sense the new program will lead to a big enrollment boost. But for students receiving the aid, it could take their college journey to greater heights.
What I really appreciate is that they're not going to have to graduate having debt. And so maybe they're going to pursue a master's or doctoral, so then they don't have to worry about that.
She says juggling student loans and other college debt often limits indigenous populations from obtaining advanced degrees. I'm Mike Mohn.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. America has been wondering why Pamela Anderson took a powder when it came to appearing in the four-episode docuseries After Baywatch. Well, not all of America, but some of America. Okay, a few people. Despite being prominently featured in one of the episodes that actually credits her with making the show a success thanks to her infamous sex tape with her husband at the time, Tommy Lee, she said no thanks. Anderson says when the sex tape came out, she was mortified and to this day still has not watched it. The studio reportedly was going to fire Anderson to protect the show until it actually made ratings skyrocket. It's called show business, folks. After Baywatch is currently available to stream on Hulu. Someone is using the image and likeness of Hollywood icon Tom Hanks to sell wonder drugs and cure-alls on the internet. Hanks appeared in a public service announcement to let people know that it is AI and he would never try to sell people something that was fraudulent, except for the man with one red shoe.
For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weekdays from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, cool with a low in the upper 40s. Sunny and a little warmer tomorrow, high to the upper 70s and a touch breezy. Sunshine and a high in the low 80s Wednesday. A chance of showers and storms into Thursday. Currently at 75 degrees.
We are the boy band.
Your tween made you see.
It's
painful concert number three.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19.
We are the boy band.
Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I want to ask you a few questions before I get where I'm going. How would it feel if you woke up every day and you knew your bills were going to be paid on time? What would it be like if you were saving money and you knew that money was automatically going to the right savings accounts, or that you knew how much money you had left over every month to spend on the things you like to spend on? Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Well, there is a free tool that you and anyone can use to help those things happen over time. It is called a budget. I know, your budget doesn't help you make more money, but it 100% does help you make more of your money. There are a ton of resources online to help you, including my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. The first few sessions are the hardest when you get going, but I promise it gets easier when you stick with it. For more everyday money help, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm in my new time slot from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we'll be doing my show from Madison, where joining me in studio will be award-winning filmmaker and record producer Wendy Schneider.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine. Have your host, James Jay, here with you. And we're welcoming into the studio our good friend, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher. Matt, good to have you with us. Thanks for being here.
Morning, James. Thanks for having me, as always.
Want to send a big shout-out to Joe and our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Subscribe to their page to keep up to date on the great work that they are doing over there. Big shout-out to you guys. We appreciate you. Appreciate you, Matt. Not only the work that you have done in the short time you have been in this position, but we had an open house here the other day, and I was on the air. I didn't get to go say hi, but I saw you bopping around. You stopped by. Thanks for doing that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that was great. I appreciate you guys doing that and giving people a chance to get out. And I know it's a big part of my job, and I don't know if it's the one thing I feel like I'm not living up to the most, is just getting out with the community as much as possible, even, you know, after hours and on weekends, just to say hey and be a part of the community and the conversation.
I don't want to start our conversation countering you or anything like that or arguing with you, but I couldn't disagree with you more, man. I have heard from this community so much that they have enjoyed seeing you out there. They've been able to talk with you. One of the things that I heard really quickly into your run here is, the mayor was here at this event and it wasn't announced. He just showed up. He just was here.
Oh.
People have really been enjoying that. So good. I wouldn't be too hard on yourself on
that
one.
That's good to hear.
I think you're doing a darn good job when it comes to that. And
appreciate it.
And when it comes to the job, when it comes to being in this position, how have things been going? How are you feeling? Getting your kind of legs together, getting your grounding there?
Yeah, no, I think it's been great. I very much enjoyed the meet and greets, I call them, you know, when you first get going and just reach out to everybody and they want to share what they're doing with you and vice versa, what my plans are. And everybody was very receptive. If I thought back now, like, I've never been a big, social media guy, but I think I missed a lot of opportunities to just do those, selfies. I should bring my daughter with me. She would love doing that with us, but she's busy. But yeah, just to be able to put that out there too, like the people I'm talking to, without making it about me, I'd rather make it about them and the businesses that are out there and how many they're employing and what their plans are. You know, if they're willing to share, it's good publicity and community spirit. So,
speaking of community spirit and things that support the community and enhance the community, the proclamations, the different days of or weeks of that we have from the mayor's office are always something that we look forward to and we enjoy highlighting. And one recently that you announced going on August 23rd and 24th, Buddy Poppy Day. Let's touch on this a little bit.
Yeah, just happy to help the VFW and everybody that's working hard there to make it happen. Sean and Misty were here the other day meeting with people. I've known Gordy. He's been a part of the VFW for years. He was my neighbor up on the Strodman location, so he'd come over and got me to join the VFW when I was pretty young. I do what I can. I'm not a huge part of the day-to-day, you know, and just there to be supportive. And I know at this part, just every time I can bring them up and what they're doing and this, you know, for this event that they're doing, fundraising is just great because of the things they do for the community and being able to raise that money and put it out to the community. They're selfless people that just, you know, do everything every day to try to help out the community that has supported them throughout the years.
Was raised in part by a couple of vets. And I'll tell you, one of the things I learned really early in life is this is a group of people that are going to ask for nothing but deserve everything.
Yeah.
You know,
they're amazing.
Completely selfless and just continue to put into their communities. Any chance we have to support them seems like a great call. And this is a great idea. Appreciate this, sir.
Yeah, no, it's great. And again, it's them coming up with the ideas and bringing it to us and, you know, us being able to support their what their efforts are. I know they're working on building a nice shelter there where they can have more community events and have some fun there and bring people together. So it's important.
And stick right here with us, everybody. At the first day, morning show of the month, we have Tom Heiser joining us with our monthly Veterans Update. Tom keeps us up to date on all these things. So be sure to join us for that when it comes up. And be sure to join our friend Matt Zacher and our good friend Kyle Kearns at Coffee with the Chamber. You got that coming up August 28th, 8:30 to 9:30 over at the City Hall Council. This is going to be a fun one.
Yeah, this will be great. You know, you never know what's going to come once you're sitting down and getting questions thrown at you. But it's never been a bad thing yet. I think people are super respectful. This, you know, I had asked you about, you know, talking a little bit about the Community Development Department. So this is a great segue to that also. Bringing, you know, Kyle's got a tough job and the inspectors have a tough job, you know, and that's where a lot of contention, I guess, in the community happens. And I heard a lot about it while I was a businessman. And, you know, every time I wanted to make a move and with the business and be able to do stuff, you really have to learn a lot, learn the language of the city and understanding what they want. Well, it's really the city and the state, and there's some federal stuff that goes into it at times too. But for the most part, the city has their things. You know, as a business owner, you always kind of, you know, you get frustrated and you want to take it all out on the city. Now, part of the reason I joined was to just understand at a deeper level what all goes into the city and why they need what they need and how it all comes to be. And I guess so being able to see it from both sides now, I have a better understanding. And I'm not, you know, trying to make excuses for one side or the other. I think it's just a bigger conversation about the city doesn't just make up stuff. Like, the city is a combination of all the aldermen and all the mayors and all the workers that have been there for the last 150 years for the most part. And every council that comes through votes on new stuff and they bring it to the table, they vote on it, they bring it in. And remember, these are the people that are voted in by the people. Mm-hmm. So it's not that these are just, you know, I'm sure there's, who knows if there is times you always say, oh, it was the good old boy network and they all were in it together. And I don't know. I don't see that. Granted, you have to develop relationships with each other in order to communicate effectively. And my take right now is I need to educate the aldermen as much as we can, because as an alderman, I realized that I was making decisions with a part of the information that I needed or the information was, I don't want to say it, what was given to you was given to you to see it in a certain light so that you may or may not make a vote in that light or whatever. And I don't think anybody's necessarily doing any nefarious, big, you know, crazy stuff, but it's just human nature to want to get the your vision accomplished, whether you're elected or you're working for the city. So there's all these things, but in the end, we voted on everything that is there. So now as a business owner or a resident, you have to deal with what's been voted in. And the best way to do that is to educate yourself. Like you don't get the easy road to say, I'm just going to hire a contractor and they're going to do everything for me, because that contractor is still your employee. So if you're a resident and you're getting work done on your house, you're the employer of that contractor. So you're responsible for everything. You don't, if the contractor doesn't do it, doesn't get the permits, doesn't do it right, it's coming down on you, not on the contractor. And so who gets the brunt of all this is, you know, Kyle Kearns, excuse me, and the inspectors, you know, and rightly so, they still need customer service. Mm-hmm. Like they need to be respectful and do everything according to, you know, what we as a city expect them to do, and to do it politely. And that's a hard task sometimes, but that's what they're hired to do. And I believe they're doing a great job, and I'm working with them to make sure that they understand that this is what's expected as employees of the city that the residents pay for. So that's all been really good understanding and learning and trying to bridge those gaps and getting stuff down. The one thing that I will say is the more we can get everybody educating themselves, not waiting for somebody else to do it, but taking your own responsibility for your own projects and your own money, then the better we're going to be in terms of getting stuff done without all the frustration and heartache and bad mouthing each other and all that kind of stuff.
Whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, it will be accomplished better and quicker if you are more informed.
Absolutely.
And giving you not only the project yourself, but the people you're working with some grace when it comes to that.
Yep.
We oftentimes don't know everything that is going on with a subject before we end up giving our opinion about it. It's maybe hold on to that opinion, or maybe hold on to some of that feedback before you have all the information.
Yep.
And I think it's always a good note, and it's interesting, this comes up with Sheriff Becker all the time when we're talking, but reminding people there's a human being behind that badge. Yeah. And that human being is a citizen of the same community. Yep. You live.
Yep.
In.
Yep.
Very similar with what we're talking about here, this board, yourself, all these different individuals. We're locals. We're, mm-hmm. we're your neighbors. We're your people. We're coming at this from this oftentimes the same angle you are.
Right.
And with the same oftentimes same information that you have or you can have.
Yeah.
So keeping that in mind as well, and taking advantage of these opportunities to be heard. You have this Coffee with the Chamber coming up. Here's an opportunity. You have feelings. You can express them as an adult.
Yep.
To Kyle, to Matt, to be able to talk to them. We have an advantage here in this area that not everybody has. We've got a mayor. We've got a public works organization, a group that want to talk to the public, that want a feedback from the public,
right.
That are encouraging the public to reach out and attend these events. So be heard.
Yep.
Any dog can bark. Do you want to actually get something done?
Yep.
You know, go ahead and be at these events.
Yeah, this is the more I'm a part of this, the more I see two things. One, there's nobody coming to save us as a community.
Yeah.
Like there's no government entity that's coming down and is going to bring their decision making powers. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden everything's going to be great. And there's no big businesses that are going to come and make our community financially strong and secure.
Right.
Again, it all comes down to us taking pride in this community, and that's for everybody working together as one big community and really helping each other. You know, I think about, you know, my wife Jenny and I go for walks. We used to do it a lot more. We spend more time at the Y now. We got such an amazing Y. We got great paths to walk on. People got to look up, look at each other, and say hello. Like,
yeah,
we have
yeah.
to turn this into a community where we're in it together and we're here to help each other. And that can just start with the simple things like saying hello and smiling and know that somehow, some way, that person's in the same exact position you're in life right now. And to have some compassion for each other and for yourselves is going to go a long way in terms of how we move forward as a community into the new economy that we develop and the new personality that we develop our community into.
It's a good reminder, a good reference, and well said. We're speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher right now, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. And I want to remind everybody, Coffee with the Chamber with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, coming up August 28th, 8:30 to 9:30 over at their City Hall Council Chambers. You can also attend it virtually. Find out more at the city's website or the chamber's website. Encourage you to do so and follow them on on social media as well. Sir, you talked a little bit about the community development project. How has the feedback on that been? And certainly could probably use more of it. About the topic itself and getting more and more people's feedback on businesses or different things that we're looking to do in this area to help out the economy or strengthen the economy in this area, I should say.
Well, in the end, business is business. The city doesn't develop business. They don't really stand in your way unless you need a state license to, buy and sell, or, if it's, certain licenses you need for alcohol, stuff like that. But for the most part, this government stays out of your way, and again, until you're in the public sphere and you need certain safeguards, I guess. But ultimately, when it comes to your desire to move forward and build a building, if that's what it comes to, I mean, most businesses right now aren't going to be started in a building, mm-hmm. and until you grow into something, these are happening in people's garages and people's basements or working with each other, and I think that that's great, but that's the spirit, mm-hmm. and the community development is there to help. It's really there to. Okay, my understanding as I am going through this to a higher level, when I used to say in the campaign, it's a municipal corporation. I didn't fully understand that, but I start to understand this better. Like this, it's a corporation, just like the United States. We have the United States of America. That's us. Then we have United States, the corporation. Wisconsin's a corporation. Wisconsin Rapids is a corporation. And they do it that way so that we can do business with other businesses and track everything and keep the paperwork straight. So, I mean, there's everything we do, we're doing to build. Let's go into the assessments.
Yeah.
Because that really what that does is that tells you what the municipal corporation is valued at.
Right.
So the state says, okay, we need to know what every, pretty much every house, every business, every industry, what the value of it is, so that at the end of that project, you know what the value of your community is. Yeah. I don't know exactly yet what they do with all that information. Mm-hmm. I mean, it plays a part into the bigger picture of what is the value of Wisconsin as a whole, and what is, right. All those numbers mean something, especially to the people who understand them better than I do.
You and me both.
Yeah, that's a lot. But it serves a purpose in that. And we do have to understand that within that corporation, there's a set of rules that we agree to when we move into that, to the city limits of that right. corporation. Like a lot of people will say when you get mad if they have to, they're being told to finish something in their property. Mm-hmm. And what right do you have to tell me what to do on my property? This is my property, private property rights and all that. But when you move into the city limits of that corporate city limits, you do have some rules that we all agree to, and we have voting rights to bring the people in and talk about that stuff. So we do have to understand that what the city's doing is what's best for everybody within the city limits. And then you go out to the outlying communities and they have the same practices, just to differing degrees. But cities are different in and of themselves. They have a big responsibility because this is where the majority of commerce happens.
This is what it is to be a part of a community. Yep. This is what it is to be a part of society. There are certain rights that we have being born in this country that we live and we uphold and we appreciate and cherish. And sometimes I think that there is some bleeding into other things with that, as in the idea of, this is my property, I can do what I want. You can't, though. You share this land with all of us. While that specific address may be your property that you own, mm-hmm. that land is attached to another address and another address, and you are sharing this city, this community, with the rest of us.
Yeah.
And any chance that we have to remind people of that, I think is important, and I think it goes a long way. You mentioned before about looking up and saying hi to each other. This is acknowledging other human beings in your community. Yeah. This is a very similar thing. You're acknowledging that, okay, I'm not in this alone. This my land affects other people's land. We talked about this with PFAS quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's my land. I should be able to dump what I wanted to it. It don't stay there. It goes all over. You understand how this works, right? The ground thing and all that. This is a very similar thing. When it comes to this revaluation that's going on, and what we're talking about here with Mayor Matt Zacher, this is important data that needs to be collected. Now, I'm with you. I've done my homework on this, and even I don't know everything that they need this information for. But I know it's important. I know mm-hmm. that when it comes to whether we're talking about federally funded dollars or any of the above, like there's a lot of different areas that this can affect, and the information is important. So it's important to keep up on and to do.
Yeah, it's an important process, and it goes a long way to understand that. And we are fighting these battles now of saying, okay, nobody's looking to come down with the heavy hand. Nobody wants that. But at the same time, you have minimal tools at your disposal to try to get people to, you know, work together as a community and clean stuff up and make sure that your neighbors are being able to enjoy their home and what they are able to look around at and participate in that community spirit. But again, it's tricky because you don't, you know, it's not like anybody's looking to come down with the heavy hand of government. I have more and more people saying, you know, you got to go into this business and fix it. I'm like, that's not really what we do. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't like that business, then you start a new business that competes with it and put that one out of business, mm-hmm. or go and buy that business from the current owner. Because obviously, if they're not giving it the due attention, then they probably don't want it anymore. Right. A lot of people don't. They just kind of let it go until it, you know, runs into the ground.
It's weird sometimes, you know, we have a capitalist society, whether you like that or not, we right. do. And it seems like some people forget that sometimes, and yep. you have to remind them every once in a while. Wanted to touch on, before we let you go, a construction update, and there's looks like they're doing some good work on the bridge over there. And we have a track relocation we wanted to touch on as well.
Yes. So we know that Lincoln Street by the Witter Park got finished up for that last, just barely for the last few games, but they were able to open it up for the entire season so that people could get in and out without too much trouble, but you'd have to find your way around that subdivision. But that's looking great. They're just finishing it up between Chestnut and Quick Trip. Should be, if not today, pretty dang soon. So that'll be great. And what a great road to have done and connect to downtown. And there's going to be great things happening downtown as the county's finishing up with their construction project and other things that are coming from that. As that evolves, we'll talk more about that as decisions are made, but it's going to look great down there. And then we are looking, that's been on the radar, will be on the agenda tonight for council, talking more about, you know, I know maybe people get sick of hearing about it, but trying to do something with the track coming through Grand Avenue on the west side and seeing what we can do. And it's still there because there's a lot of federal money that is being put out there for grants in order to get rid of railroad crossings. And it's still a viable project, and it would be so great for the west side in that area to be able to, you know, take that whole track out of there if at all possible and figure out how to reroute that. And it's a long process, but I'm determined to stick with it and get the right people on board to have that conversation, and hopefully we can get it done this time. Last time it was on the table was about 20 years ago, and it was so close.
Yeah.
And just didn't happen. And now's the time with the money that's available to try it again for around the same price as it would have cost then.
I'm excited to hear what develops with that, and looking forward to talking more and more about that, and certainly more with you about all of these projects and about all these different things. I do want to send a shout out to our construction workers out there, our city workers doing such amazing work. Keep an eye out then. We still got orange cone season for a little while here and everything. Slow down. Keep an eye out for our construction workers out there. Sir, by now, I'm sure others might have heard your other interviews and heard some feedback in the town. There is murmurs about mill news. I don't want to press you too much on this one because I know there's not much you can share, but I would ask that you keep the breaking news for us. No, I'm kidding. Is there anything you can touch on with the subject?
Well, it's nothing really that I didn't say from the beginning, which is the craft mill most likely won't be there, and that stands firm. And you can't really start talking about names or anything because you don't want egg on anyone's face or anything like that. But ultimately, CRG is doing a great job. And their whole goal here is to redevelop that whole area and turn it into the best possible industrial park that they can. So everything goes in line with that. And that gives the city a lot of security to know that if by chance anything were to be walked away from, that would be detrimental to the city if it was half done and we didn't have the money for it. So a lot of time goes into the I's and T's in order to make everything set, not only for CRG and the people that they're doing contracts with, but also for the city and making sure that we have safeguards in order to make it happen. Because as much as we trust everybody that's involved in it, you still got to have it on paper and make sure that, you know, when if if bad things happen, we have some safeguards. So
it's security for all parties, really, and for the city as well. And great work, sir. Keep up the great work. Looking forward to hanging out again next month already. Thank you for the time, Matt.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it.
Find out more about some of the things we've talked about with Matt today at the city's website, wirapids.org, and be sure to follow them on social media. Great way to keep up to date on everything they are doing in the city of Wisconsin Rapids here. And a big shout out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Subscribe to their page on YouTube and keep up to date on the good work they are doing over there. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Most people out here think that taking...
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm in my new time slot from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we'll be doing my show from Madison, where joining me in studio will be award-winning filmmaker and record producer Wendy Schneider.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time. I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.